Create Trust with Simple and Authentic Law Firm Marketing with Ali Awad, episode 266. Are you ready to make your law firm a profit-generating machine that will free up your time and skyrocket your impact? With more than two decades of business growth experience and having proven that you can be successful while prioritizing your family and your impact, introducing the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, the creator of the Firm Differentiator 10X Effect, Moshe Amsel. Well, hello and welcome to another amazing guest interview here on the Profit with Law podcast. I'm your host, Moshe Amsel, and do I have a treat for you? I always say that, or I believe I always say that. But anyway, what I did was I did something different with this interview. And my guest today, normally I have like a brief conversation before we start recording. We're recording the whole time, but before we start the episode. And then I do this intro as part of the recording with the guest. Well, Ali and I... and I'm going to introduce Ali in a moment, but Ali and I started to have this conversation where we started to all of a sudden go into details that before I knew it, we were 15 minutes in, and I said, you know what? We're going to have to use this conversation we just had as part of our episode because it was just that good. So I didn't get that intro in the recording with him because we just continued our conversation from there. He didn't even know he was being recorded. We didn't even know he knew he was being recorded, but he didn't even know that it was going to be used as part of the episode. And so, that's just the explanation of what happened here. And I'm now recording this intro after the interview has taken place. But Ali Awad is the founding attorney of Ali Awad Law PC and the most followed personal injury lawyer in America. On Instagram, he built his eight-figure law firm from his phone, and in the past year, he went from 5 employees to 45-plus employees. He's also the host of the CEO Lawyer Summit, which he talks about here on the episode. And if it makes sense for any of you to participate in that, I encourage you to do so. Ali is a very interesting, dynamic personality, and there's a lot to be learned from his journey. He's got a real go-getter mentality, an attitude, and I mean, anyone would kill to have somebody like that on their staff. But I want you to look at him and try to see where you may be different and where your gaps are and what you can potentially do differently to emulate some of the things that he's done, because he hasn't done anything magical. His results are magical, but he hasn't done anything magical. He's just put himself out there authentically and hustled, you know, and made it happen. And I think that there's something to be learned from seeing his success in that way. So, but it's a great conversation, and there's a lot of ground that we cover, and I'm excited to share it with you. So, and this is being released on Thanksgiving. Now that I'm doing this intro, knowing when it's going to be released, this is going to be released on Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And for those of you who don't know, we run here an 18-month a law firm elite coaching program. We also run a 90-day law firm turnaround coaching program. And our December cohort is going to be starting in just a little bit over a week. And we still have a couple of spots available. And the only way to get access to it is to fill out an application for a free coaching call, have a free coaching call with one of our coaches and see if you're a good fit. And at the end of that, that will be offered to you if it makes sense. That free coaching call is absolutely free, and it is a coaching call. So you will leave the call knowing or finding out, where we're really clarifying where you want to go and getting clarity on what might be holding you back or stopping you from getting there, and what are the things that you need to work on to achieve the success that you are trying to get to. So if you have any lack of clarity in your journey right now, if you're frustrated, if you see that you're spending way more time than you're supposed to, I strongly suggest that you take advantage of the free coaching call, whether or not you move forward with our coaching programs. And you can sign up for that at profitwithlaw.com/free coaching, profitwithlaw.com/free coaching. Here is my conversation with Ali.
So what's interesting is you saw me on Bill's thing. I don't know. I think I got targeted by one of your Facebook ads where you were like unpacking your groceries. And I remember, I'm trying to remember what the message was, but I remember being very intrigued with your story, your marketing skills. So you caught my attention with that ad, that's for sure. May not be your ideal client, but I liked it. So I'm really excited to dive into your story. I think that you did something very unique with Instagram that, you know, a lot of attorneys are trying to like figure out like what is, you know, how do they market? But then you went beyond that and now you're helping lawyers. So before we get started, just tell me what a little bit. I know you have a conference coming up. So tell me about that, and tell me about what are you doing with the lawyer community so that I can help you highlight that during this episode.
Sure, man. So my main thing is I have a personal injury law firm in Atlanta, mm-hmm. And now we have another office in Chattanooga. So we're in two states. We're about to open up a third office now. Five attorneys, 40 plus staff members. And a lot of the growth really came over the past year. So at the beginning of the year, last year, 2020, I had maybe like 4 or 5 employees. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the business is really just amplified. And I started doing Instagram videos and marketing back in 2016 when I was still working as an associate attorney for a mm-hmm. small rinky-dink firm. And the reason I quit was because I wasn't getting paid my bonuses. So right. I had this plan of becoming a partner and growing with them and all this stuff. And then I realized that like they just weren't appreciating me because I was bringing in the majority of the business to the law firm. And I was, you know, fulfilling on the back end, doing all the work, bringing in the case and closing it and not even getting paid the percentage of, you know, like my salary was basically like a month's worth of work. So
right.
quickly realized I don't need that 40K a year job anymore. So I went out on my own 2017, started my practice. And even at that time, mm-hmm. I had an idea because I brought in maybe.
Were you doing personal injury at that firm?
Yeah. Yeah. I did personal okay. injury and business litigation because I have I have an MBA and I thought, you know, maybe I'd like to learn the business litigation side. Quickly realized I hated it.
Right.
So the first year, 2017, when I quit in February of 2017, I probably brought in like 200 or 300 clients that year just from my phone, you know, mm-hmm. through social media. And then the following year was my claim to fame where I spent $6,000 boosting ads from my phone and generated $3.2 million in settlements, which is a little over $1 million in attorney's fees, all mm-hmm. from my phone with no website. I had maybe one paralegal at the time. And no real office. I was just using shared office space mm-hmm. and I essentially bootstrapped a 7-figure law firm from the trunk of my car. 2019, I decided to host my first CEO Lawyer Summit because I was like, look, mm-hmm. this is something cool. I think lawyers would want to learn from it. Well, I ended up getting sort of diluted with my time because the summit and the media company that I started in 2019 started taking up a lot of my attention. Mm-hmm. Summit was a success. My law firm did not grow from 2018 to 2019. I was bringing right. in a lot of cases. I was like,
how do you define success with the summit?
The turnout that we expected.
Okay.
You know, we were trying to get, we did it at the law school. We had 100 tickets that we wanted to sell and we had mm-hmm. lawyers from basically all over the country that were flying in. Right. So we had like 12 or 13 states that were represented. And mm-hmm. I wanted it to be more of a seminar style. So I spent 2 days really diving deep on like, here's all the different ways that Instagram marketing works. Mm-hmm. One of the people that was in the audience was none other than Alexander Shannara. And he's the biggest law firm owner in Alabama. So when mm-hmm. he came, he brought, you know, his two people. And even at that time, I was still very expensive on my pricing. Cause I'm like, look, if you don't appreciate what I'm going to teach you, then, you know, then I'm not going to sell it. So since then, he's kind of just become a friend of mine. And he's, I think, you know, word got out that I'm doing my social media thing. 2020, thank God for COVID, because if I would have done a summit again last year, I think it would have had the same crippling effect on my business. But mm-hmm. because I didn't do anything in the media company last year, I was just selling courses. I essentially recorded the summit and then sold them as courses. And then throughout the year, just to stay relevant, probably the ad that you saw was either for like my 30th birthday or advertising for the summit or something where I'm like, look, just less than the price of groceries, I'll teach you my 5 best performing ads.
Right.
So I still do that stuff because I watched Billie Jean do his thing and I watched, mm-hmm. you know, Tai Lopez. And these are the kind of people that I, you know, was studying to see how they were building their businesses. And I learned that the people that teach usually make more than the people that do.
And you and Bill Houser will get along really well because that's exactly like the type of people that he's attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, like the Grant Cardone, Tai Lopez. He never mentioned Billie Jean, but I bet you he's had Billie Jean on his show already.
Yeah. Billie Jean was interesting because, you know, when I graduated from law school, I was watching his content. I was watching Tai Lopez. I was spending my time around a lot of these social media influencers. I was getting into masterminds. And like these people were making way more money than like all the lawyers that I knew. I'm like, there's got to be a way that we could take the digital marketing stuff and apply it to law firms. The problem was no one had done it. No one had done it successfully.
Well, you know, there's two problems. So that's one problem. The other problem is that most law firms don't have the business model to support that kind of marketing, right? So personal injury is the one model that doesn't really need to be fixed, right? Because you're on commission. You get to basically determine the value of your client. And that's really where attorneys need to be if they want to be successful, because otherwise when you're just billing hourly and you're marketing lawyers' time, there's no way to invest heavily in marketing because the ramp up would need to be so extreme in order to get to the point where that marketing is paid for, because you're essentially, I mean, you're no different than a catering service renting out waiters. You're essentially just renting out attorney's time to people, and that's where you're making your money. And you need to really rent out a lot of hours in order to make that work. So I think that the business model in the legal industry, the traditional business model, has to change in order for them to be able to invest the right way in their business, to be able to have that something like this work.
Well, a couple of things. I think there's always the assumption that personal injury lawyers are always killing it. When I'm hanging around other personal injury lawyers, I can guarantee you most people are not doing as good as you think they are. Second, most of them do have a broken business model, because even when you work on a commission basis, you don't know the quality of your cases. And if you don't know proper medical management and know what buttons to press with pre-litigation or here's the business model of every single law firm in America that does personal injury. We bring in the cases, we send them to a doctor, or they go to the doctor of their choosing. When they're done with treatment, the doctor will tell us, they'll send us the notes, and we send a demand. We negotiate with the insurance company. If we don't like the offer, we send it to litigation. Okay. That means that your only resource, your only trump card that you can play is filing a lawsuit. How scalable is that? You need attorneys for that. You need attorneys to go to hearings and depositions and trials. You can't send a paralegal. What I've built is a pre-litigation machine that functions off of just paralegals, with me being kind of like the manager of the law firm. Now we have 5 different teams. Each team brings in $200,000 to $300,000 attorney's fees each. And we're adding another team pretty much every couple of months with no attorneys involved, just me. And we did that by studying the insurance company software systems. Well, not we, me, for several years to figure out what it was that drove value on these cases. And it really came down to the medical management and the diagnostic imaging. If you send your cases to the right doctors, right meaning a doctor that's not a super plaintiff-friendly doctor, that doesn't have a bad reputation, that's been dragged through the mud through depositions, you got to send them to the right doctor, someone that also works for defense firms to do, you know, independent medical examinations, and also early diagnostic imaging. Now, if you have those two parts in play, you can still have, you can have a very successful law firm. But if you take it a step further, what if you pre-negotiate all of the medical bills? So you can predict the settlement value and your income to yourself and to the client before you even start the case. Well, now the majority of our cases are settling for the entire policy limits, and we can predict how much we're going to put into the client's pocket before we even start the case. As a result, when you have a massive following and an impact on social media, any case that comes into my door has a 60% chance of settling for at least $25,000. As long as it's fresh, because we can build it. Cases, good cases don't fall into your lap. Good cases are built. And that's kind of the premise of the first day of our summit, because a lot of personal injury lawyers are attracted to my business model. And after you study a lot of the law firms throughout the country, you realize there's different breaks, right? The people that once they hit 10 million in attorney's fees or revenues, it takes them a long time to get to that. But once you hit 50 million, now you're in like the top law firms in the country, and very few break 100 million in attorney's fees per year. A lot of law firms are in the 60 to 90 million range. And I mean that by the top law firms in the country. And I learned that from just spending a lot of time with these people. So now I have kind of a target. I know, okay, once I get to 100 million in attorney's fees and revenue, I know that I'm going to be the number one player. Well, how do I get there? Well, their model, like we said, with litigation requires filing a lawsuit, and their shelf life of each case is usually 9 quarters.
Right.
Like literally.
Yeah, it's 18 months.
Yeah. No, for the big litigation firms, it's double that. It's literally like 26 months, 27 months. Our shelf life is 3 to 6. So even if I don't settle the case for incredible value, right? Because most cases are only have a $25,000 minimum policy. Most people in America would rather have $5,000 in their pocket right now instead of maybe $10,000 or $20,000 a year or two down the road. So our ability to reinvest our money back into the marketing is amplified. It's exponential, because I can reinvest 2 to 3 times per year in the same amount of time it takes you to do it once every 1.5 to 2 years. That's why we have that hockey stick growth. It actually has nothing to do with my marketing, because there are much better marketers out there than me. The problem is that their original business model for personal injury relied so heavily on attorneys. Attorneys require getting a percentage of the attorney's fees. You have to keep them well fed. Otherwise, they're going to leave and start up their own practice. The barrier to entry is so low to become an attorney these days. If I could do it from the trunk of my car and literally become a millionaire in the first year, it's a very attractive proposition. So you can only recruit top litigators that add so much value to your cases in a way that they can't do on their own. That's the only way you can get that, is by getting so much volume into the office through referrals, through marketing, whatever, and having a pool of great value cases that cannot be settled with a paralegal. And so it's interesting that you say their business model is what's broken. It's not really people's marketing that's broken. Most of the time it's not. Most of the time you're covering fees and costs that you shouldn't be covering. Most of the time, you're not using funding companies to pay for litigation expenses. Most of the time, you don't know how to put in admin fees into your contract. Most of the time, you don't have a variable pricing model, where if someone comes in with a $5 million case and your ego doesn't let you drop your fee from 33% to 30% to secure this client, you're stupid. That's the bottom line. Right. So it's just that those are the things that like frustrate me internally. And the goal is to teach people at our summit, with the first day being a personal injury masterclass. We're bringing in some of the top litigators to kind of present on how they add value on their cases, because I know that it brings people, you know, in like, oh, wow, this person's going to come and speak. But really, it's kind of opening up Pandora's box and educating these lawyers. Like, look, your business, you need to spend time building up that business model. And if you do it like this, look at the amount of scalability that you have. You don't even have to rely on lawyers. And you can take it as far as you want. You can even take it to virtual assistants. A lot of the stuff you can even automate if you really break it down into individual tasks. That's what's going to happen. And the firms that don't figure that out sooner rather than later are going to get crushed or bought out by private equity. So people look at me as an Instagram guy. Dude, that's just what you found out about me. I'm looking at the overall health and the wellness of our entire legal industry as a whole. We are on the cusp of having private equity involved in all law firms. And when that happens, your margins are going to get crushed. You think it's expensive to market now? Wait until JP Morgan gets to buy into law firms. We have Esquire Bank now. They're literally like a kid sitting at a buffet table with no one else there. What happens when all these other banks get involved? You got to get in, got to get right or get left. That's what I like to say, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So quick question, because we kind of jumped into this conversation, which went a lot deeper than I thought. When we start the podcast, we allow you to introduce yourself, let people know who you are if they never heard of you. So Ali, I want to just give you a moment to, you covered some of your story, right? You started in 2017, you came from another law firm, but tell us a little bit more about your story, running your firm from the trunk of your car, what motivated you. And then I want to circle back to this conversation because I have a number of follow-up questions on some of the stuff that you shared so far.
Awesome. Well, my name is Ali Awad and I help injured people make a lot of money. That is my catchphrase and it works. It used to start off as a joke and now it's kind of caught on. I'm a personal injury lawyer. I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia. I have offices in Tennessee and in Georgia. My current firm size, you know, towards the end of 2021 is 5 lawyers and about 40 staff. We expect to double by next year, just as we've doubled every 3 months for the past 18 months. My claim to fame is really just Instagram marketing and using digital marketing. My tag on social media is CEO Lawyer. I think I'm one of the most followed injury lawyers on Instagram. And I've built a social media following actually from the Snapchat days, starting with Snapchat and then using Facebook organic and then spending some time on Instagram. Now we're kind of on TikTok. You test a little bit of Clubhouse, right? So there's so many different social media platforms and we're omnipresent on them. And now my firm has kind of gotten to a point where it runs on autopilot. I get to spend most of my time marketing and meeting with incredible people, getting to do awesome shows and teaching lawyers how to build their business through social media marketing and the infrastructure for systematizing every aspect of their law firm so that they can step back and enjoy life a little bit. And that's kind of the short and skinny.
Awesome. Awesome. This is what an amazing story of rapid growth and accelerated growth. And I want to dive into that. But before I do that, clearly you have an expertise in social media that a lot of people wish that they did, or, you know, they find it elusive. And I think that some aspect of social media comes natural to a certain demographic, a certain age group that grew up with it, or, you know, you're a young guy. And a lot of people who are a little bit older grapple with, I mean, they're using social media, but not in a way that, like, they're willing to put themselves out there, that they're having just forward conversations with people on social media. Also, you laid out a case in the green room that we now shared with everybody on how you're using social media to kind of get people who are injured, who maybe are not at the point where they're looking for a lawyer yet, to become visible to them, so for them to realize, wait, I need to involve my attorney much earlier on in the process, not after I went to the doctor, but maybe before. And I think that might be part of your recipe for success. My question is do you think that what you experienced with Instagram and whatever other social media platforms you've used is specific to personal injury, does it really translate to any area of law? Because I mean, that's the first thing, like, people start listening to the podcast, like, well, this guy's a personal injury attorney. I'm a family attorney. It's not relevant to me. Next. Right? How do we get whoever's listening to be interested in this topic? Is this something that translates to them?
Yeah, I'll tell you how. If you can do it in personal injury successfully, you can do it in any other market way more easily. Personal injury is by far the most competitive and most expensive market to compete with and compete in. So, and I'll explain it in very general business terms, where personal injury is a reactive business and almost every other type of law is proactive. As a family law attorney, as an immigration law attorney, as a bankruptcy attorney, as a credit repair specialist, You can put out an ad on social media or a video on social media to elicit a reaction from someone that causes them to click on that button and essentially buy your product or service right there on the spot because of your ad. With personal, and that's called a proactive business, meaning I can put out an ad and get money. It's almost like e-commerce. In personal injury, it's a reactive business. The only way that I can get people to hire me is after they've been in an accident that is not their fault, that does have sufficient insurance coverage, and they're willing to see a doctor. And hopefully they didn't wait too long to either go past the statute of limitations or waited too long to establish a gap in care in their case. I have so many more barriers as a personal injury lawyer. And if you really take it another step further, it means I'm in the branding game, which is a very expensive game to play compared to lead gen. Now, you can look at just the basic metrics and the basic data of every type of law firm nationwide. Personal injury, the cost of client acquisition is going to range between $1,000 to $2,500, depending on your market. Family law, it's low three figures, if not two figures. You can get family law leads for $25-$50. You can get immigration law leads for pennies on the dollar. You can do it almost completely organically. So I know in the beginning, it's like, well, this guy's a personal injury lawyer. They make a lot of money on their cases, so they don't have to worry about it. They can afford to spend all this money in marketing. Then why don't you do it? Why don't you try to build a successful PI law firm and see how hard it is? You might get lucky and you might bring in a case that does well. And then now you have to assume that because you made money, you know how to invest. It's not that easy. In fact, personal injury is the hardest business to be successful in. All the other ones can be systematized, and you can bring in clients for so cheap to the point where you don't even really need to spend ad dollars. So social media, I will make the argument that is more important. Social media is more important in other industries outside of personal injury, other areas of law, because it's so much easier to bring in those cases.
So what's the strategy? Okay, great. So I'm sold on the fact that social media is definitely the name of the game. And if I put myself out there on social media, I can bring in clients organically or maybe through a little bit of ad spend and get them through the door. There's got to be like a recipe of how to do that, right? And because there's a lot of people on social media, and if you're just sitting there posting stuff that's not getting any attention, that's not going to do it. So what is the way that, do you have some sort of recipe for our lawyers to listen to and say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand how I need to structure my live video or how I need to put this, you know, put myself out there, what this post needs to say to draw somebody in?
Sure. So this is a loaded question and it's not a one size fits all, but I can definitely give you some actionable tips right now that will result in bringing in clients. And it starts with your organic presence. So almost everyone has a Facebook page. And let's say you're listening to this and you're not bringing any cases from social media. Okay. You do have a Facebook page and you probably have an Instagram page. If you have a Facebook page, then you're going to have between 500 to 1,000 friends and family on that page. Ask yourself this: how many people in my current friend and family list either needed my service or may have needed my service in the past year and didn't hire me? Ask yourself that question and be honest with yourself. Do my own friends and family know what I do? I'm not saying all your friends and family are going to be your clients. I'm saying that's where it starts. You have to take advantage of whatever core competency you have and whatever advantage you have in the market. And for a lot of us, it's your initial Facebook friends and family following. And the way you start by educating them is not by putting out an ad. It's not by saying, hi, I'm so-and-so and I fight for maximum compensation. It's educating people about your story, telling them of an example case. My best organic content is usually a story about a case for a client that I worked on. An example of this is today I settled a case for a family of four for $75,000. It wasn't the $75,000 that made me so happy. It was the fact that this dad jumped up and hugged me the moment I handed him the check. And I realized it was at that moment that he had no other source of being able to provide for his family during the holiday season. He wanted to get his wife that new jewelry that she'd been waiting on. He wanted to get his children those gifts. But because the car wreck caused them such financial, physical, and emotional trauma, he was completely drained. And this settlement check was the reason he was able to celebrate Christmas with his family and hopefully start the new year fresh, excited, and be the perfect father, husband, and friend that he knew he could be. Man, I love my job. Isn't that different from, hey, I settled this case for $75,000. Call me if you need a lawyer.
Yeah, I got chills hearing that story, right? It made it a lot more personal. It brought our emotions into play hearing that story. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, great. You sure?
Before we go through that, that did not require video. You can write that piece of content. The reason this is so important is because if you can't do video, you could probably do audio. If you can't do audio, you can definitely write because you're a lawyer. I know you can write. Don't lie to me and say you can't write. I know you can write. And if it comes from the heart and it's authentic, people are going to want it. People are going to eat it up. And so that content, if you do that once a week, once a month, it'll train your audience and your followers to know what you do. Eventually, you can switch it over to video if you want and say, hey guys, look, that was one strategy is the story. The other strategy is doing video content, asking people to give you feedback. So you do your first 30-second, 60-second video about personal injury, and maybe it could be that same exact type of content that I said you could do in writing, but on video. Hey guys, I just started my law firm page on Instagram, and here's the first video that I posted. I'm honestly super embarrassed about this, but I would really love your feedback because I trust you. What do you think about this video? What can I do better? Boom, engagement skyrocketed because everyone wants to help digitally, right? They, you know, I put that.
Everybody wants to critique you. Come on. Everyone wants to
critique you, right? But what you're doing is you're hacking the algorithm to get people to engage with your content. And then after you do that post, the first comment that you write is, by the way, you can see all of my posts and videos here. You know, it would mean the world to me if you followed my business page. Because the people that are going to follow your business page are only the ones that actually care and want to see more of that content. You don't blast people by sending them direct messages and say, hey, you need to follow my page, like my page, like my page. That's going to have a less than 1% conversion rate. But with these strategies, you're going to have an astronomical conversion rate. And then that's where it starts. And then we can talk about creating more content and then figure out what content works best and then running it as an ad. That's when you get into the ad strategy and the ad spend. We spend about $250,000 a month. We'll probably spend $5 or $6 million next year just in digital ads. So, and I'm telling you, this is how it starts. This is how it works. If someone says, hey, you got to spend $30,000 a month just to be competitive, they're lying to you. You know, and I'm telling you, I'm going to build a 9-figure law firm, at least $100 million in attorney's fees in revenue per year. I'm going to do it through social media, and I'm going to prove all of these people wrong. It's going to start with your organic. And once you have those moms, right, that concept of momology, where your mom is your biggest fan and your biggest supporter, there is nothing that you can absolutely do wrong to her. And you have 10, 15, 20 of those fans that are always sending you cases and always supporting you and giving you feedback, and you reciprocate by sending them a Mother's Day card, or you send them a holiday package or something like that. You build that core village. Oh man, you become unstoppable. Because once that snowball gets going down the hill, it gets bigger and bigger and faster. And when you have that momentum, it's just exponential growth. So it starts there. Don't dilute everything and can convolute this whole strategy. It starts with what's right in front of you. I'm not asking you to put money on Facebook ads. I'm not asking you to go buy the top of the line equipment. I'm not asking you to get invited on these top podcasts in the world and spend 100,000 plus a year in mastermind groups like I do. I'm just saying, share your story and test out different types of content and be authentic when you do it. That's all it takes.
I love it. So going back to that, the first example where I share the story, right? Is there a call to action at the end? Is there something that I'm telling people to do? So I share the story, but then what's the strategy or other than somebody liking the story, what is the strategy to, once somebody listened to it, if it's relevant to them, if it, you know, that story spoke to them, to now do something next.
What do you think normal people do if they see that post and they're like, hey, I actually need help? Do you think they don't know how to comment, or they don't know how to message you, or they don't know how to get in touch with you? Don't assume that you need a call to action for every single piece of content. It's actually a waste of time and energy, and it's demeaning to your audience, because then it kind of commercializes your story. You don't need a call to action. Dude, people are not stupid. If you're just sharing your story and sharing your content, and if you look at my content now, I'm not always advertising. I mean, very, very small percent, less than 10% of my content is actual advertising. Most of it is just educating, engaging, building a following, building an audience, getting some viral element, right? You don't need a call to action. You let the content work on its own, and you wait for someone to comment and ask a question, and that's when you go in for the kill. You give them valuable information, understanding that when you respond to a comment, everyone can see it. To this day, with thousands of clients in my law firm, with dozens of employees, with millions of followers, I still personally go in and try to respond to every single comment, because I know that other people, when they're visiting my page, they're going to see that comment. And so that's where the call to action happens. That's where you continue to educate your consumer and you sell. You don't sell from the very beginning. I have a funnel strategy where 60% of your content should be just for the goal of awareness, and that's it. You don't need a call to action for that. 30% of it should be for conversion. Engagement. I want likes, comments, shares, saves, and reactions, right? And there's an order of operations on those for which one is the best. You want people to share your content is the best thing. And then 10% conversion, because yeah, you do need to sprinkle a couple of ads in there from time to time, but most of your content needs to be for the sole purpose of educating and entertaining, and let the audience figure it out on their own, because they're smart enough to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love this concept of creating content where you're not commercializing it, right? You told the story for the sake of telling the story, and you're not asking for a next step, because it makes it more authentic. When as soon as you have that call to action at the end, they're like, oh, he just spiced this up in order for me to be able to click this or take the next step. But when you just share the story, it just feels more authentic. So I like that you clarified that, and I'm glad I asked the question, because I think that's very helpful for our audience. I want to switch gears and go back to our initial discussion where we were talking about the business model. And one of the things that struck me is that you have designed how you're going to find your people at a different stage where most law firms are looking for them.
Yeah.
And this is something that I actually have a segment that I do once a year where I talk about info products for attorneys. And that whole concept is find them at the step before they need you and help them with that. So for example, you're a family law attorney. What happens before somebody says, I'm going to get divorced? They're fighting. They don't like their spouse anymore. They have all these other issues, right? So what do they do first? Usually they try to go to marriage counseling, or one of them at least wants to go to marriage counseling. Maybe the other one doesn't. And if they were to navigate that better, they may never need a divorce lawyer. So yeah. I teach attorneys how to think about that and create a product that helps them solve that problem, so that they don't need you. Now, it sounds counterintuitive, but there are people who are going to fail at that, and no, then no, they'll need actually, you. And now
it's deeper than that. What you're teaching them is becoming the authority figure in that niche. That's what you're teaching them. And by me teaching you how to not need me, how to negotiate cases on your own, you automatically trust me, because it's like, dude, this guy has no incentive. He doesn't even need my service. He's teaching me how to not hire me. In fact, he's protecting me from other lawyers that are inferior, that don't know what they're doing. And you're absolutely right. The personal injury lawyers that do that are actually the most successful. And if you look at historically some of the best ads that have run over the past decades, the ones that just educate people on what they can do and give them some sort of value that, and by the way, value is like a buzzword that everyone uses and that, you know, no one's ever really sat there and tried to define it. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be, value is very simply giving people something that they want that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. That's very simple. I just want some additional value. What else are you giving me? Well, if you come to my page, you're always going to be educated. You're always going to be entertained. And I'm going to teach you how to not hire a lawyer. And it does sound counterintuitive, but the value of positioning yourself as the industry expert is not only great for potential clients, but it's also for other lawyers that want to refer you cases. So when you're creating your content, you have to realize it's not just that you're promoting your stuff to potential clients. You're also promoting yourself to business partners that may want to work with you and refer you business and refer you cases. And the more you establish yourself as the authority figure and as that source of credibility, the higher the likelihood they're going to send you business and they're going to send you cases. And it just seems more authentic when it's like, look, I have nothing to sell you. You know, I don't need a call to action. I don't need to tell you, hey, call me and I'll fight for maximum compensation, because everyone is doing that. But I guarantee you, when you come to my page, there's going to be something that you're going to want to engage with, something that you're going to like. You're going to be entertained first, educated second, and then you know where to find me. It goes down in the DMs, right? We sign up hundreds of cases a month through DMs only. So that's strategy incredible. That you have is actually how it's a pillar of my content strategy.
That's awesome. So the question is how does somebody who's sitting on the other side of this podcast listening to this saying, wow, this really makes sense to me, right? But there's a difference between understanding the concept and executing on it, right? So how does somebody take this information and put it into action? What do you have like a methodology that they can use to understand where is it that I need to insert myself in the conversation to be the most impactful for my target market? And I have another question as an aside. Put this in your back pocket and come back and answer it later, because I'm going to forget to ask you. But social media is all over, right? It's everywhere. And you have a practice that's very geographically situated, right? So the fact that you're a CEO lawyer, hashtag CEO lawyer, top lawyer on Instagram, you know, people all over the place are watching your stuff, learning from you, following you. I am sure that brings in some sort of lead generation that's outside of your geographic area. What do you do with that? Put that in your back pocket. We'll come back to it. let's stay on focus with where we are right now.
I'll tell you this. You know, you can take a horse to a pond, but you can't force him to drink, right? We are in a world where there's information abundantly everywhere that you look. Execution is on you. My job is not to motivate and inspire you. My job is to tell you what actually works, because as soon as we're done with this show, I'm going to get back to work and do the same exact things that I'm telling you that I'm doing now. And either you listen to it now, or you wait until next year when more and more people start competing and putting ads on social media, and the markets get more and more diluted and it gets harder to break through and create a brand. It's up to you. How bad do you want it? You know, do you want to grow? Do you really want to have a bigger law firm, a more successful practice? Do you want to have true financial freedom where you own a law firm and your law firm doesn't own you? Like, I'm way, way better at business and entrepreneurship and structuring a company than I am at marketing. I think people just know me for marketing. But I have right now 6 months of content in the pipeline. And I'm going to answer your question by showing you what I'm doing. Creating content doesn't require you to automatically post it. Sometimes it just gets you in the habit of practicing. You know, so if you look through my phone right now and you go scroll to like 2015, 2016 videos, you'll see that I was recording the same video over and over and over again. I had 15 to 20 takes in one video. Now I talk in sound bites. I can literally take bits and pieces of this podcast, create it into content, and it's going to perform exceptionally well because I've gotten so much better at creating video content and just having conversations that will eventually lead to content on social media. I practice. I get better at it. I've spent over 10,000 hours creating content. You're not gonna be perfect from day one. The same way when you first stepped into the courtroom, you didn't know what you were doing. The same way that when you started law school, you didn't know how to crush that contracts exam, or you didn't know how to deal with that torts professor. You get better at it. You practice it. And the more you care about it, the better you're going to get. So when, if you're not happy with your current situation, like you're not getting enough cases, you're not, you know, bringing in enough revenue, the information is out there. I give tons of free legal information. I even created a separate page called CEO Media, which is my media company on social media. You don't even have to follow it. Just watch some of the videos and see the stuff that I talk about. It's specifically designed to educate lawyers how to market, how to build their business, how to hire people, how to structure their life so that the business doesn't own them. As of right now, I have 6 months of content in the pipeline. I can dip out for 6 months. And I know when I come back to the office, I'm going to have something like $15 to $20 million in checks waiting for me. In fact, they're not going to wait for me. They automatically deposit it now. I don't have to be involved on social media and posting content because it's all automated through softwares like Hootsuite and Loomly. My virtual assistants can respond to all the comments and messages that come in. My entire intake team has access to all of my messages through a software called Mobile Monkey. We use Zoom phones with our entire company. So everyone downloads the Zoom app and they're able to make calls and text messages that are tracked from every single employee. We use Filevine as our case management software. Every single thing that happens in a case goes into Filevine. We're in the process of creating a dashboard that connects all of our data into one system. So we know exactly what's happening with the law firm every single day. These don't happen overnight. Like, you have to build them. And you have to look at first what's most important to you. Most of the time, it's not needing more clients. Most of the time, it's studying your business model and having a real conversation with yourself and saying, am I really the expert at creating this business model, or do I just copy it off of someone and just hope for the best? If you're not continuously refining and getting better at your, and I'm doing this now, my firm is going to be very different in 2022 compared to 2021. In 2020, the beginning of the year, I had 4 employees. Now I have 40. And I know that we're going to continue growing at this crazy rate because we're bringing in the cases. But you have to build that infrastructure. And for me, it starts with people knowing that you exist. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. And if you want people to hire you, they first have to know that you exist. That's why I gave you that example of putting content out on your Facebook organic page, because you're going to get great reach organically. And look, those people, a lot of them are your friends and family. If they're not going to hire you, then good luck finding strangers, right? But at the very least, you're going to practice, you're going to get better and learn from other people. Like, now there's an entire industry of lawyers that get clients through social media. I'm not the best marketer on social media. I think I have the best business model by far, but I'm not the best marketer. There's people that do Instagram way better than me, TikTok for sure. You know, YouTube way, way better. Like, there's people that crush on all these other platforms. I just focus more on the omnipresence, to be involved as just as much as I can. I don't look for the bare minimums. Like, what's the bare minimum that I need? Oh, I need to do one piece of content a week. No, man, just document what you're doing. Talk about the stories. I promise your life is way more interesting than you think it is. Share it. And then once you get good at sharing these stories, whether it's written, whether it's video or audio, figure out a way to put some money behind it by running it as an ad to an ideal target audience. If you're a family law attorney in some town that only has 100,000 people, you can very quickly dominate that town because no one else is using that strategy. Content creation, amplification, domination. That's the strategy. And so on the execution part, it's all up to you. The information is there.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to go back to you and I grazed on one thing right at the beginning of our conversation. And I want to talk about this briefly before we wrap up, because we're just about out of time. A lot of what we're talking about requires that your business model makes sense. And this is the piece of the puzzle that's missing or elusive to many law firm owners out there. And that is focusing on profitability rather than revenue generation.
Okay, I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Exactly.
My philosophy is a little different than yours.
Which is?
I think building a law firm and building a business is much like bodybuilding. No one ever became Mr. Olympia by just being lean their entire lives. Okay, sometimes you have to bulk up. Sometimes you need to take on extra weight, lift heavier weight. You need to take on more protein and more carbs and more water. You need more sleep. You need more rest. You need more exercise. You need more physical therapy. You need more chiropractic. You need more. And then when it's time for the show, then you slim down and you trim the fat. And so it really depends on how quickly and what your number is. You know, like, do you have a number in mind of how much you'd like to make consistently, monthly, quarterly, annually? And then how quickly do you want to get there? All of you that are listening right now are millionaires. All of you will make over $1 million. The difference is some of us make it in a day. Some of us make it in 10 or 20 years. So you have to think about how much money you'd really like to have and how quickly you'd like to make it. And the quicker you want to make it, it's going to require you to take on a lot more stress, a lot more marketing, a lot more, you know, operations and hiring and growth and really bloating up your company so that you can quickly scale up, trim down. And so you kind of find yourself going in these cycles, right? I learned from, you know, from mentors that it's better to overhire. If you're expecting growth and you have anticipation of growth, give your employees 2 to 3 months runway so that they can catch up to your scalability. We're hiring maybe just fast enough, but I can probably have another 10 or we have 5 employees starting in 5 days, you know, 5 new ones. And I know that we're going to have at some point, we're going to have an onboarding where 10 or 20 people are going to join all the same day. Why are we doing that? I don't have work for them right now because by then it's too late. I'm hiring in anticipation of growth. And a lot of times it's because I'm willing to accept a lower salary because I know what's going to happen when I trim the fat. So if you start focusing on profitability too early, you stunt your ability to scale. It just takes a lot longer. And especially now with Moore's Law, it's no longer 18 to 24 months for the computer chip to double in speed and processing power. It's like 6 months. Every 3 to 6 months, technology is getting twice as fast and bigger and more powerful and faster. So you should be in a rush. You should have a sense of urgency to want to grow your business and force yourself into that growth because you know that a year down the road, 2 years down the road, you can cut it off at any time, trim down the fat. But what happens is something really beautiful that no one talks about, which is the type of person you become when you're able to handle all of that additional stress and work into your environment. And so when you get to that point where you have, let's say, hundreds of employees or dozens of employees, and you're bringing in millions of dollars, and then you intentionally scale back because you know it's going to maximize your profitability, you end up in this state of bliss where it's like, I'm intentionally taking less money in terms of revenue because I know that it's healthier for my organization. I can spend more time with my family. My employees are going to be happier. We have an unlimited paid time off policy. Starting next year, we're going to go from 70% payment of health insurance to, I think, 90 or 100% on their health insurance. We want to have the best benefits in the game. Like, I'm in a retention game. I'm not in the marketing or the business game. I'm in the talent acquisition game and the talent retention game. So the reason I think that this is working all at the same time is because I've sold this dream to all of my employees and they believe in it. You know, they believe that we're destined for greatness and we're going to become the best. Now it's my job to deliver on that promise to them. And part of that means after the bloating, after the scaling, when I start trimming the fat, instead of adding all these excess clients and people, and you brought up a question earlier about the international, the cases in other states. Well, a good thing is that I'm doing a summit and I'm going to be able to pick whatever business partners I want and have the most favorable fee split that I could possibly negotiate because I've built this sort of ecosystem, right? But next year and the year after, we're going to be focusing on trimming some of that fat, supporting them with virtual assistants, automating a lot of the processes, utilizing artificial intelligence. This is the direction that we're going. And it's going to allow my employees to become so highly paid and so well respected and so appreciated that they don't even think about going anywhere else. They love being here. They want to be on the winning team. And I don't intend to lose anytime soon.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you started off your response, and I love your answer, by the way. You started off your response with saying that, you know, we look at this differently. Like, we have a different philosophy on this, and I don't think we're that far apart. I also agree that you need to invest in your business. I talk all the time about, you know, look at a doctor's office. When a doctor needs to set up his practice, he's got to invest $700,000 to $1 million in equipment, office space, examining rooms, all that stuff, just to be able to see patients. And lawyers, when they go to set up shop, they think that they can start with no investment at all. And the reality is that at every step of the way, we need to always be investing in our business. We need to always be putting money back in. We need to always be figuring out what is the next thing I can invest in to be able to grow. So I absolutely resonate with your bulking up example. But where I actually wanted to go with this question was, or just the statement, is the fact that you have 5 attorneys and 40 support staff.
Yeah.
The fact that you have built a practice around a bigger picture of the business model, where you understand that if I was just going to hire attorneys, there's no way that I can make the kind of profit that I want. And I think that that's really where everybody needs to take a step back and look at, because what happens is that most lawyers start their firm by looking at where they've been and how the practices were there. And you adopt the business model of the place you're coming from. And the reality is that the business model from the 1990s is broken. We're in a different world today. Clients don't want to be billed hourly. They want to know what it's going to cost them. They want to know what their upfront fees are going to be. They want to know what they're on the hook for. They want to know.
They want to be able to text you for updates. They don't want to sit in your email and go into your crappy portal. You know, I've hired other attorneys that I've fired. And even after giving them a $5,000 retainer, I'm like, screw it, keep it. You don't see the value of a relationship with me. They want me to only communicate with them during a specific amount of time through their portal. I don't want to do that. I'm the client. I decide how I want to be communicated with. So you got to cater to the clients. And, you know, I in the beginning, my reinvestment was 90% marketing. And 90% of the revenue that came in, I put it back into marketing. Everything else was just, you know, software systems. I didn't pay myself a salary until 6 months after I hired my first full-time employee. Like, my employee was making more than me in the beginning. But I knew, because I had a pipeline, like, eventually I'll be able to pay myself and do better. But the concern that I have is that too many attorneys look at profitability instead of scalability and the shelf life of their cases and the tasks that each employee is doing. I think too many attorneys or law firms are lawyer heavy. Lawyers do non-lawyer activities all the time.
I absolutely agree. I think that people need to very quickly recognize that 90% of the work that they're doing does not need to be handled by an attorney, does not even need to be handled by a paralegal. You can train a monkey to do most of what you're doing. And that's the thing, is go out and get yourself inexpensive staff to do most of the work. The problem is that if your business model doesn't support that, because you can't bill somebody who's not educated, who's not a paralegal or an attorney to your client because you're billing them by the time, then you can't do that. You can't go out and hire all those people that makes the most sense for you to hire. So you have to adopt a different pricing strategy. And for personal injury, it's easy, right? Because I take a third, or I take a little bit less than a third in your example, right? But for many other practices where you're coming from an industry where you just charge a retainer and then you bill them hourly, that is the most inefficient system possible. And it forces you into this box where the attorney has to do the work. And it's not in the best interest of the client, but it's not in the best interest of the law firm owner either. And I think that looking at your firm and seeing your growth, what I think is the biggest takeaway for our listeners is not the rapid acceleration of growth. It's not the success you have on Instagram. It's the fact that you have a law firm running with 5 attorneys and 40 support staff. That's what people should be focusing on. Because when you go to hire people, your first hires shouldn't be an attorney. You should be figuring out, how can I, as the attorney, be doing the least possible work with handing off the most possible work to somebody else without hiring an attorney? Like, that's the game that you should be playing. And that's what I mean by focusing on profitability, is making sure that your model is scalable in the way that you're envisioning. Because if it does, the math doesn't work today with you, who's free, essentially, how do you think that you're going to make money when you hire an attorney who's costing you $100,000 or more a year? And that's where I think people need to focus on.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head, because the law firm, the pre-litigation department, which is run mostly by paralegals, is the most profitable part of our business. The attorneys are there. They're not profitable yet. They're there because I'm going to invest in them and build a litigation department and workers' comp department over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, and it's going to become profitable in 2023. So I'm consciously making that decision to invest in these attorneys, not because I absolutely need them, but I know that the ROI of having attorneys be able to file a lawsuit on any case whenever I want drastically increases the value of my cases firm-wide. So it helps us with our initial business model, which is, you know, bring in these cases, build them up properly, and try to settle them as quickly as possible because clients need their money. And now I've actually taken it a step further where I'm looking at all the things that my paralegals are doing. And a lot of tasks that my paralegals are doing, they shouldn't be doing. It's like they spent 40 minutes setting up a claim with an insurance company. Well, dude, I'm paying you like $25 an hour. Like, you know, you should be drafting demands and you should be doing, you know, heavier work. So it becomes my responsibility to make sure that I'm supporting them with virtual assistants and additional staff so that we basically task base everything in the firm. If you're looking at attorneys, there's only three things that attorneys actually need to do: hearings at trial, depositions, and trials. That's it. Those are the only three things. Everything else a paralegal can do, including the drafting, including the legal research, including meeting with the client. Like, a lot of this stuff can be done by other people. But then what if you look at your paralegals and evaluate the tasks that they're doing? And then what if you look at your assistants, like the mail clerk, and you're like, does the mail clerk really need to be doing all this? Or are they much smarter and can we just automate that type of that part of the process? And so studying that business model is where you're going to find that gold. It's never in drastic changes, right? You know, if you've already built $1 million business, you don't have these massive direction shifts. You have this one slight degree of change that changes the trajectory of your growth over the years. Not a huge hump that you have to get over. It's bite-sized chunks, you know, and I read a lot of books and I study a lot of other law firms and I look at what's working for other people and I just figure out how to do it better.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And we go back to what you said earlier, which is that you're in the business of talent acquisition, right? And that's what people need to recognize and embrace, is that really the way that I'm going to create the freedom that I want in my life and the wealth that I want to create and the future for my family that I want to create is by bringing on people and making money off of the work that they're doing. If I'm just making money off the work that I'm doing, I'm severely limited to what my potential can be. But when I start to bring on a team and I start to have them make money and I take a piece of that pie and I continue to expand the pie, now I'm getting to the point where I'm a cash generating machine. Now I can take the money and I can do other things with it. So, I resonate a lot with that, with you know, what you said there and that mantra, because that's really where it's at. I mean, a lot of people have read the book E-Myth, and, you know, Michael Gerber is famous for a reason. And it's because people miss this part of what a business is all about. You think that you started a law firm because you just wanted to be free of needing to answer to somebody else. But the reality is that if you really dig down deep, you don't just want to be a lawyer collecting a paycheck that you generated instead of somebody else generating for you. You want to create a better life for yourself. And we start to do that self-introspection and saying, what do I want? Which is something that you brought up earlier. What, you know, ask yourself, what is it that you want? Do you have a number in mind? Do you know what you want to create? When you start to look at that, you have to then translate that into a business model that's going to work for you, into one that works with your life. Like, some people are single, no attachments. You can, you know, and your business model will work very differently because you have the freedom to do things like that, where somebody else might have five kids and they have to generate money for their family right away. They have to harness a different model. You got to choose the right model for you, understanding the big picture of where you want to go.
You're absolutely right. That is how it works. When I started my law firm, I intentionally said, I want to be able to run my business from anywhere in the world. So I made it mandatory that every new employee gets a brand new MacBook and a brand new iPhone when they start, because I don't ever want the excuse that you have bad internet connection, your power is out, you can't reach the client. We have so many backup systems in place. And yeah, it cost me $3,000 or $4,000 to onboard an employee, but I can go anywhere in the world. I have an employee now whose wife lives overseas. He's going to go and spend 6 weeks over there. The first week or two, he's going to be off, spend time with his family. And then he's going to be able to work during those hours. Well, I knew that I wanted that for myself when I started. And now this is the main reason why we're attracting top level talent. It's because, look, you can work from anywhere in the world. As long as you get your work done, we trust you. And so you're absolutely right. Like, you live however you want. You build your law firm around your life and not your life around your law firm. And so because I'm doing that now, I feel like I'm not working. I enjoy what I'm doing. There's no part of my life that I'm like, man, I absolutely hate this. Like, I don't want to be doing this. Yeah, you have to grunt a little bit in the beginning. You got to hustle. But even that is going to be enjoyable because it's you. It's all you, you know, and no one else.
Absolutely. All right. We're out of time. We're done. I want to give you a chance to plug your CEO Lawyer Summit. And I think I got the name right there, but tell us a little bit about that. Who's it for? Like, what is the ideal attorney that it's for? When is it? What is the price tag? How does somebody decide if they should go? Give us the broad strokes of that and where they should go if they want to invest and travel out to. Is it in Atlanta? Is that where it's going to be held?
Yes. Yes. The CEO Lawyer Summit is a 3-day super intensive seminar where we're going to go over a lot of the stuff that we discussed today, but also deep dive into building a personal injury law firm and systematizing it. That's day one. It's only for PI lawyers for day one. Everything else is for all attorneys. So day two and day three, we're looking at the important topics of how to run a virtual law firm, how to properly set up your Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, all of your content, how to hire your first videographer and build out your media team. Because I think my third or fourth hire was a videographer. It was the most important hire that I think I made. Now I have a 7-person media team, and that's why we can create so much content. How to run ads. You know, the guy that actually built the Yahoo Ads platform back in the 90s is going to be coming and presenting. How to hire virtual assistants in the Philippines, Central America, South America. How to utilize funding companies, because there's so many things in your business that you actually don't need to take the costs on. You can actually have a bank or some other funding company front those costs and then bill the balance to the client. Really, it's such a deep, deep conference. It's not the type where I'm going to sit there and motivate you and inspire you. Like, yeah, it's going to be fun, but we're going to come and work. Like, you need to bring your laptops. You need to bring your marketing director if you have one. We're coming here to teach you exactly how to build your law firm through social media. There's going to be multiple panels. One is going to be a $1 billion panel where every lawyer has collected over $1 billion. They're going to teach their strategies on how they've scaled their businesses. We're going to have a social media mastery panel. I've picked 5 lawyers from throughout the country that none of them have as many followers as I have, but some of them are making more money and are way more profitable and live incredible lifestyles because of it. So we're going to show you how other lawyers are utilizing social media. We're going to have a digital mastery panel where we're going to cover topics like SEO, the search engine optimization, the Google ads, Facebook ads, YouTube ads, things like that. And this is really my way of showing the world that everything that you might have learned and had to look at in the past isn't really the same anymore. The world is just different now. And in 2022 and beyond, you can run a multi-million dollar law firm from your phone. And I'm going to show you multiple people that have done it. We have sold out of our diamond tickets. It's a $10,000 ticket to come in. Those have sold out. A lot of the big firms in the country have come in, but we do have tickets as low as like $1,500 to attend. The silver tickets, they come with for days 2 and 3. If price is an issue, I'm more than happy to work with you guys because we haven't even really started running ads. This has all just been organic. We're capping it at 375 law firms. The CEO Lawyer Summit will be December 13th through the 15th at the Westin Hotel in Atlanta. The perimeter location, which is next to the King and Queen Tower. You can go to ceolawyersummit.com to get more information. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a message at CEO Lawyer. Just say, hey, I heard you on the Profit with Law podcast. Love your stuff. I'm, you know, even if you don't come, I'm more than happy to evaluate your content, tell you what you're doing wrong on your social media or how I can help. because at this point, I don't really run a business that teaches lawyers how to do this stuff. My main business is my law firm. I'm putting these summits together because it's that important. I think we're going to elevate the entire industry by doing this. And I would love to have you guys there. CEO Lawyer Summit.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Folks, go check it out. Listen, in-person events, 3 days, being deep immersion into content that's relevant for your business. Doesn't matter who's putting it on. I'm a fan of it. I think that you should always be investing in yourself and investing in your growth. And that comes in different ways, but conferences is a way, especially for attorneys. It is one of the ways that experts get in front of you and share with you what they have. So if you're, whether you're a PI attorney or another type of attorney, look at the content, see if it's something that makes sense for you. And I encourage you to definitely go and check it out. I've had a great conversation here with Ali. I can only imagine that the content at this event is going to be stellar, and you're going to walk away having learned a ton from the experience there. So definitely go check it out at, is it CEOLawyerSummit.com?
Yep. CEOLawyerSummit.com.
CEOLawyerSummit.com. Folks, it's been a great conversation. Ali, thank you so much for being here. This has been, it's just a breath of fresh air to see somebody in action doing the things that we're talking about and really killing it. I mean, literally killing it. You know, creating the vision that he wants. You can do the same. You can create the vision that you want. Stick around here on the podcast. We're here twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday. Make sure to hit the subscribe button if this is your first episode that you're listening to. And we hope that we're going to continue to provide valuable content like this for you on the regular basis. Ali, thank you so much. Folks, take care. Until next time, we'll catch you then.
Have you been enjoying the show? We sure hope so. To make sure you never miss an episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast player app. Next week, we will be back with more valuable resources and ideas on how to break the mold and take your law firm to the next level.